He's the type of guy who says this right now, and then he'll play 2K and call everything bullshit about the game.
That's
you
bullshit.
Can pick
That's
up.
Bullshit.
You can be listening to these frequencies that they That's give true. You, you know? And there's these guys sitting in studios working on frequencies that make you think differently.
What's going on in the world, if you could just go home every day after your job and go live in the world that you want to live in, why would you give a fuck what's going on out there?
What's up, guys? This is Big Mike the Don on the Reverse the Universe podcast. Here once again, I got a very, very special person I got to interview today. I must say it's special because if I didn't, I might be in a little bit of trouble. She went from zero to hero in the kitchen. You can catch her on Instagram at her Munchies by Marissa page, where you can see all the delicious food she makes and 99% of my nutritional intake. That would be my girlfriend, Marissa DelGercio.
Hey, everyone. I'm honored to be here on the Reverse the Universe podcast.
Yes, we're honored to have you, even though you live here and this is where the studio takes place.
Yes.
But it's okay.
On our dining room table.
That's right, because you have to be nice to me, because we can't let the people know the secrets.
No, they can't know the secrets.
No, but on a real, real level, you are probably one of the inspirations for the podcast, as Marissa here has, you know, I think 1,200 and something followers on Instagram now, which doesn't sound a lot, but where we're from, that's a lot.
That's a lot. I've worked hard for those 1,200 followers.
Yes, yes. This is to give a little backstory of it. It's been a kind of a wild ride with this, because just as of like last year, Marissa used to make pasta and it usually came out hard. And other than that, she didn't cook anything and I cooked everything. So now she has, I don't know, out of, you know, out of the graces of God, has become this this chef and renowned cook who like cooks all these gourmet meals and delicious food all the time, which has been a big help to myself because I'm usually hungry and I don't always want to cook. So I do thank you for that. I do.
You're very welcome. And you are a big inspiration as to why I started cooking in the first place.
So. I know.
Tired of being judged for my minimal cooking skills.
That's right. So really, when it comes down to it, the Munchies by Marissa page on Instagram, what was the first post? I can't even remember. I should know these things, but I barely go on Instagram.
The first post that I posted was actually a combination of pictures that I had posted previously on my personal page. My first post, though, aside from that, was Mother's Day. I made chicken and shrimp kebabs.
That's right. I do remember that. They were really good. They were good.
Yeah. And
can we talk about the first time you made mashed potatoes?
If we have to.
I
that did not make it to the Instagram page.
No, no. That didn't even make it to my stomach. she made some mashed potatoes that looked really good, and I came home from work and I was souped. I was like, oh shit, I love some fucking mashed potatoes. And then, you know, her dad, at that time we were staying at her dad's house, he was like, no, you don't want to eat that. I was like, what? Why? And she told me, no, they're not really good at all. And I didn't understand it. I really didn't until I got it on my plate. And these mashed potatoes were a little suspect because it had the texture of glue. And I was like, I don't think this is the way it's supposed to be. Long story short, those mashed potatoes fed the garbage can very well.
Yeah. And I will say, typically, you are my biggest hype man. Like, mm-hmm. even if something's not that great, you'll fake it. You know, you'll say, oh, you know, just you're usually really good. But those, they were horrible.
Yeah, no, I don't really fake it. I'm honestly just a fat guy who really likes food. So even if it's somewhat mediocre, I'll probably devour it and think it's like, you know, some kind of like beef Wellington or something. It's delicious. Mignon. Filet mignon. That's the next thing we have to make is some filet mignon.
Yeah, we should.
We should.
I should. Yeah, that would be good.
That would be some filet mignon, some shrimp. She has mastered the ability to make some grits too. I love you some grits.
Yeah, I gotta redeem myself with those mashed potatoes. That's the one and only time I've ever made them because I was so disappointed in myself. Mashed potatoes are like my favorite food. So for me to royally screw it up, that hurt my heart.
Yeah, she hasn't even tried to make them since.
No.
And this was back in,
this is a long time ago.
This is back in March. This is back like pre-COVID, I feel like.
No. I didn't really start cooking until COVID because there was nothing else to really do. So.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah, that's when my master chef abilities took off.
Yeah. Even now, she's getting a promotional item that she's featured on her Instagram page before. The recyclable cup?
The friendly cup?
The friendly cup.
Yeah, I have to post my
the friendly cup is
my ad.
The friendly cup is a good thing, and honestly, on this podcast, I don't really hold back. But I like the friendly cup. I think the friendly cup's pretty cool. It's a little small for me.
It's very small.
Very small.
That's why I'm not.
They should make the friendly baby cups. That's what it should be called.
Well, they had other cups, so that much I'll say.
You
and
picked that cup.
I did
you?
Pick that cup. Yeah, they sent me. They sent me all of their products.
A catalog.
I chose.
A catalog of cups.
Yeah, essentially. And then I chose that one. I didn't know it was going to be so small. But yeah, I do have to do that. I do have to do that.
So another fun thing that Marissa does is this Tuesday Cook Club thing.
Yes.
She presented me yesterday with these little shot glasses. Little shot glasses full of ranch dressing. I don't know why I find it so funny. It was really good, but it was just like these little shot glasses full of ranch dressing and these little sticks of peppers and vegetables. Yeah. It was delicious. It was just funny looking. It's like,
that was part of the challenge. So every week we have a challenge.
I didn't know that's what shooters were considered, though.
Well, it could be anything. The whole concept of the challenge was to do something in a shot glass. It couldn't be alcohol. It had to be food. So it could have been anything.
Could have been alcohol and food?
I mean, probably. Somebody just totally disregarded the rules and made shots. made tequila shots.
They're like, this is the dumbest fucking idea ever. So we're going to just get drunk and say, fuck Tuesday Cook Club. God. Did they get banned or something? Can you get banned?
I mean, people get removed from the group. Yeah. Not like banned, but like if you don't post for like several weeks at a time. For several weeks at a time.
Yeah.
You could get removed from the group.
Wow. So they take that shit serious. Yeah. I know you haven't posted every Tuesday Cook Club.
No, but I've never skipped more than 1 week in a row. Because I don't want to be banned.
Your friend actually runs it, right? Your friend from Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay.
From Chicago.
From Chicago. Yes. We're just watching a Instagram live of her unwrapping a bunch of groceries. I did not know this was a thing, guys. If you know about this, maybe you can,
They're unboxings.
Yeah, you can teach me about this unboxing of groceries. So you go to the store, you come back. And then you just go on Instagram Live.
That's not what she was doing. She got free stuff sent to her, and she was doing an unboxing of what was sent to her.
Oh, I thought she was like, oh my God.
No, she didn't like go to the local ShopRite and like show everybody her cold cuts.
No, she came back from ShopRite and was just fucking pulling out garlic aioli sauce. I got this on sale, guys.
No, that's not what was happening. But unboxings are like a thing that it's not just like in the food community. Like people do it like makeup, like
I've seen the
clothes.
I've seen the unboxing with like children's gifts.
Yeah, that's like a weird thing on YouTube.
It is weird, yeah, right?
There's like people on YouTube that like do like they do that essentially with
what is
children's
that?
Gifts. I don't know. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. Like, why are you a grown person, like, unboxing
like,
Barbies?
Is it, like, Steve from Blue's Clues type of guy unwrapping the gifts or something? Or is this, like, creepy guy in the back alley with, like, a bunch of lollipops
like,
in
their
pockets?
No, it's more like the Steve from Blue's Clues vibe. Yeah. But I still find it to be a little little weird. Like, I don't know, but that's just me. Maybe I'm reading too much into things, but I think it's a little strange, not gonna lie. But it's a whole thing. It's a thing. Well, the kids love it.
I think any adult that does these like kid things are a little weird. Just a little bit. Like a little weirdness to them.
It's a little off color. I don't think I would be comfortable with my child watching that. If it was another child, you know, like unboxing their Toys R Us, oh, RIP to Toys R Us, their whatever, their Amazon package of toys, then that's one thing. If they're another kid, but adults, I'm like, eh.
Yeah, eh. I don't get the whole adult thing.
I don't know. That. It's odd.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to film the kids on camera doing that. I don't know. I don't get it.
That's a more innocent way of looking at it.
But I feel like parents. I feel like, and I might be wrong, that there was some kind of like conspiracy behind it before, where it was like these guys were like subliminally giving messages to kids, yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, and I think that's very plausible. And yet, when you have a bunch of grown ass men making, you know, child material, you know what I mean? It's kind of strange to me. And you know, like, you know, RIP Mr. Rogers. I believed him. I felt like that was the real OG when it came to like kids, you know, stories and shit like that. He was for the kids. Some of these motherfuckers are a little sketchy. I'll even, like I said, the Steve on Blue's Clues was a little sketchy. Motherfucker left because he was a drug addict or something.
Is that true?
Listen.
I knew that was a thing, I don't know if that's true.
I don't have all the facts. Okay. I just have conspiracy theories. That's all I talk about.
No, it's a bit weird. I feel like there was even something shady with Mr. Rogers once. Maybe it was like just a conspiracy thing or...
I have a really good story about Mr. Rogers. So... When I was a kid, I used to like Mr. Rogers, to my knowledge. I mean, I was little. But my mom said that I was watching it one day, and Mr. Rogers had an episode where he was in the bathroom, and he was teaching kids that you can't flush yourself down the toilet.
No, that's probably a thing.
It probably is a thing, but my mom told me after she saw that, she told me I could never watch Mr. Rogers again because she thought that was just so weird.
It is weird, but it probably is a thing. Kids that are like afraid when they're getting potty trained.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Maybe.
I thought his little puppet thing was weird. Remember the little puppet island they used to take him to?
Yeah.
They used to put on the train, so. And there was like the little, prince puppets. It was fucking weird, man. It was like if I was five and smoked weed, I thought maybe like that would have been enjoyable when I was like five. But I didn't really enjoy that part of it even as a kid. I always thought that was creepy as fuck.
I feel like all old school 90s kid shows are a little bit odd. Like think of Sesame Street. Sesame Street, like it's legitimately the main character is a big bird, literally and figuratively.
I thought Sesame Street was the shit, though.
I did too.
I thought it was the shit. You know, you learned your alphabet, you learned your numbers, you learned all types of shit on Sesame Street. That's still on. Now it's fucking weird. Now they got the fucking the tranny fucking. There's no offense to trannies on the show at all. That's just a disclaimer. I just think it's funny that they made a goddamn tranny fucking Muppet, whatever the fuck the thing is. It's just fucking weird. It's weird. And we were having this conversation the other day about, you know, what do you do in that situation? You know, if you have like an 8-year-old and they're making it so accessible for these little kids to like just decide that they're another gender when, you know, they can't even change their own goddamn clothes to match. But yeah, oh, they know what gender they are. It's a little weird to me. And I mean, listen, everybody has their own opinions, but I mean, we were talking about it and it's kind of strange.
It's just odd because it raises question for me that if, you know, these things have to be explained, like you're saying, to somebody or a child that's watching Sesame Street, clearly they're like, they're young. So to explain these things, it makes me question, are they going to then have questions that they wouldn't necessarily have if they didn't know this was a, you know, a thing? I don't know.
I don't, it's such a confusing thing because this was never a thing before.
Yeah. So I feel like our generation of parents, like, you know,
but that
not yet us, but us eventually. It's new things you have to teach your children that never you never really did before. So it's kind of like, yeah, trying to figure out, like, how do you approach this?
Well, I'm trying to think how the subject even came up. I think it was on TV. I think it was on the news.
How we started talking about it?
Yeah, the news. I think on the news there was, I don't know if it was Fox News or CNN. We watch all different varieties of news in this household. But I don't know which one it was. And they were saying that, like, a court ruled that parents can have, like, their six-year-old become a girl. A six-year-old boy become a girl. And I'm like, you know how fucked up that child's going to be if that's not the right decision that he wanted? Yeah. Not saying the right, not the right decision, but if he grows up when he's 15, 16 years old and he's like, fuck, I wish I had my dick. Like, like that's going to suck for him, yeah. You know? And then that causes, I feel like, people to fucking, like, kill themselves and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's no fucking joke, you know?
Yeah, but then on the flip side of it, there's people, teenagers, adults, kids, whatever, that feel like, you know, they're born a man, but they feel like they're a woman. And that ends up causing them to kill themselves because they feel like they're, you know.
Trapped.
Yeah. But however they feel. You know what I mean? I can't relate to it, but I understand. Yeah, exactly. I can see it from both sides. I can see where it's like, okay, everybody needs to have knowledge on this and children need to grow up knowing that, like, this is something that goes on. And, like, you know, we can't judge people for it and everybody has the right to make their own choices. But that being said, at what age is too young to explain these things?
25. Everything. I think 25 is the age where you can go fucking ham and do whatever the fuck you want to yourself, to your body, whatever. You know why 25? Because it's been proven that at 25 years old, your brain is done growing. Okay? I don't care if you say, oh, 18-year-olds are adult. When I was 18 years old, I was not a fucking adult. I was a little child who was just in an 18-year-old's body and did not have a fucking brain to function properly. When you're 25 years old, that's when this science have proven that your brain is fully functional, and that's where you're going to be the rest of your life. So at 25 years old, if my child came to me, well, my young adult came to me at 25 years old and made that decision, I'd be like, all right, bro. Like, listen, you're 25 years old. What the fuck you want from me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with it. Whatever you want to do. You know, you have a fully functioning brain, and if you really made this decision by really thinking about it, go right ahead.
Yeah.
But before that, hell no. You ain't doing that shit. Because you have time to think about it. And I feel like 25 is a good deadline, not only for the fact that it's like when your brain stops fully developing and shit, but for the fact that, you know, you can be your 18-year-old adult self and have, what, 7 years to figure it out, you know? 7's a good number. It's a lucky number. So if you're lucky at 7 years old, you can figure your shit out. Go get it, boy.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I agree.
We also love this show called Meet the Plaths.
Welcome to Plathville.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of it. I'm terrible with names. But, I mean, kind of on the same subject of, like, you know, parenting. You know, like, we're talking like we have kids. Which we don't. We don't, guys. There's no kids involved at all, you know. So this is all a bunch of fucking, you know, trial and error. So, you know, there's a lot of shit we might be talking on here that might not really fly.
Yeah, but we don't really know what we're talking about.
Nothing. But fuck it. You got to talk about it sometime. Why not to the world? but on the show, the Welcome to Plathville, you know, like, it's kind of weird to see how, you know, inclusive they make their family. It's weird.
It's super weird.
Yeah, they have this one daughter, though, that it's so weird because the whole family is so inclusive and do all these things, but they have this one daughter who dresses like a little slut, and it's like, what the fuck? Like, how do you do that? I, like, honestly, the whole thing of it is, I think it's crazy how, like, they treat their children, but, like, the shit they let that girl Mariah wear and stuff on the show,
yeah,
it's I wouldn't even do that. I would not let my child wear, like, that shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, the low shorts and the crop top. Like, I just don't get it.
And, like, for context, the daughter who's a year younger than her, and I think it's somewhat by choice, but she wears, like, floor-length skirts and, like, very conservative tops. And then,
yeah.
It's odd. They're, like...
Well, they're polar opposites, those two. Was it Lydia and Mariah?
Lydia and Mariah. Yeah, they are.
They are polar opposites. And Lydia is like...
Well, even like, look at Micah. He's like, Micah's older than Mariah. He's like obsessed with his abs. Like he's half naked half of the show.
Yeah. It's...
And like he talks about how before he was out on his own, like living his life, he wasn't allowed to like show his stomach. Like it was, what did he say? They talked about in the last episode. It was like frowned upon to like show any kind of skin. But then they show the other one, Mariah, who walks around like half naked literally all the time in front of her parents. And like they just kind of let it fly. I don't know. It's a weird show because I feel like they're really hard on all of their kids, except they're not with them.
No, but the thing about Mariah is, to put context to it, she's only 16 years old.
Yeah, she's only 16.
16. And they literally homeschool their kids. They don't let them have friends and all this other weird shit, whatever. No social media, no TV. Blah, blah. Yeah, okay. So they do all the weird shit that parents do to like...
Very conservative.
Very conservative to their, towards their kids. But they let her just dress the way they want, the way she wants. She has a cell phone. She just does whatever the fuck she wants. And, I mean, not really getting to the show because probably a lot of people don't watch this show. This is a random-ass television show.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is, you know, where is the boundaries with the kids, you know? It's like, you know, like in this show alone, you see the polar opposites of it. It's like... I would never let my kid do the things that they're letting her, like her do, but also I wouldn't treat my kids like little, you know, what do they treat them like?
Little like servants, essentially. Well, I don't know. They just keep them very sheltered. That's really the best way I could describe it. Like, I feel like they're not mean to the kids. Like, they're nice to the kids. I just feel like they keep them in a bubble. Yeah. And the only reason why the others have rebelled is because they've gotten older. Except for Lydia. Lydia's getting older and she's, you know.
She's the little Amish girl in the
Yeah, in she's the very, very conservative, very sheltered. Like, I don't feel like they know anything about life and it's sad. I don't know. It's a really weird show.
Yeah, she was, I think in the last episode, the girl Lydia who's like, I think she's 15, 16 now.
And, she's 16 now and Mariah's 17 now.
Right, but they were showing like she's in love with somebody.
She hasn't seen in like 3 years, though.
Right, that's the whole point.
It's literally like the only boy that she's ever seen outside of her family.
Right.
Like now here she's 16 years old. I think she saw him last when she was 13, and she's like literally in love with him, she says.
Right.
Like it's kind of – it's sad because I feel like they're not giving these kids like the opportunity to have a real life. Or like, you know, once they get older, I guess they could do what they want. But look at the older ones. Like Ethan, for example. Like he – I don't know. He's a really odd guy, but he's a nice guy. He never had wine. He never had
Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the shit that they do.
He went to watch his girlfriend get her belly, or no, I'm sorry, his wife get her belly button pierced. They went to a tattoo parlor and he was like freaking out. It was like very out of his comfort zone. Like that's too much.
But to relate it to like real life. Now, once again, you can't really believe everything you see on these shows. I feel like, you know, all TV is kind of skewed towards, you know, whatever their narrative is, and they really push the envelope with it. So I don't know how much of it is actual reality, whatever, you know, because reality TV is never reality TV at all. You know, speaking of another show Marissa watches, I love this. This was supposed to be about cooking, but another show she watches is Unexpected. The
Don't Hate.
It's also on
TLC. That's how I started watching it. It came on after this.
Right. The analysis would be it's like the B-rated Teen Mom. So
it's better than Teen Mom. I'm so upset. I have an episode and a half left.
If any, like 30-year-old woman right now who was 16 when that came out is probably gonna probably send a hate mail to her house now. Like, no, how could you say Teen Mom was not good?
16 and Pregnant was good.
Oh, that was the show. 16 and Pregnant.
And then they made Teen Mom. It was like a spinoff.
I want to know, what would you do if your 16-year-old said, I'm pregnant?
Me?
Yes, you. Who else am I talking to right now?
I thought you were asking the people. That I'm like, the people aren't going to answer you. I mean, I wouldn't be happy.
No.
But I wouldn't be happy about it. That's a lot. That's so much. They have to grow up so fast. Quite honestly, I feel like we would get stuck taking care of this child How is our 16-year-old going to care for a child, provide for a child? They wouldn't. So we would be starting from scratch, essentially. I would support whatever decision they make, if they want to keep it, if they want to put it up for adoption, if they want to end the pregnancy, whatever they want to do, I support it 100%.
I wouldn't go with the adoption route, personally.
I mean, I feel wouldn't like for myself either.
The abortion thing, that's really on... That's a touchy subject. I mean, I feel like as if it was early enough and there was no option.
Well, of course, I would want them to have a healthy.
But I feel like if I'm abortion. Stable enough to help in any way, I would promote the, you know, give birth side of it. And that's only in my personal opinion for myself. I totally agree if, you know, if it's early term for any woman out there. That you have the 100% right to do whatever you want. If you don't have that support behind you and you feel like you have no options, you have to do what you have to do. You know, it gets into a rough subject. You know, abortion is a hard thing to talk about, you know.
I think for me personally, it comes down to where I would feel the worst for our child would be, I wouldn't want them to have to make a decision like that.
No.
Especially at such a young age. You know what I mean? I've even said the same for myself. Like, I don't want to be in that predicament because, or, you know, I never wanted to be in that predicament because I feel like I wouldn't want to have to make that decision because I feel like that has to be an incredibly hard decision. It's one thing to have a child when you're ready and you're in a relationship and you're old and not old, but, you know, old enough, you know, you're stable, whatever. But to make a decision like that when you're not, there's got to be so many things that go through your head. And at 16 years old, you're not fully developed. You're not emotionally there, you know, it's not a decision that I feel like a 16-year-old should have to make. But that being said, I would try and steer them in the right direction, talk to them. I mean, I don't know.
No, it's hard.
It's got to be just, I mean, not just as difficult, but I feel like it's probably incredibly difficult for parents as well, because you don't want to see that for your child.
No. And that comes back down to the whole 25 thing. You know, they're 16. They're not fully developed. They don't know what decision to make because they don't, you know, they don't have a fully functioning brain. And I don't mean functioning like, oh, they're stupid. I mean functioning as they don't have experience. Their brain hasn't grown to the full mass. And that's why they need guidance in those ages. And that's where the whole thing comes around full circle. They need guidance in this situation.
Yeah, of course.
So if you don't have the guidance, and this is where it also comes to, like support, guidance, all these things are very important in this situation. And if you don't have it, and the option, you know, the best option is abortion, then that's the route that probably should be taken. Now, if it's like, you know, if you're, you know, you can't really go like 9 months and then be like, I want an abortion. I feel like that's where I draw the line. And you know, that brings into like another topic, you know, just an abortion in general. I feel like it's such bullshit that there's only two sides to it. It's like you can either be pro-life or you can either be pro-choice. There's no in between. You can't be in between. If you're in between, then the other side is just going to jump down your throat. You know, I feel like if it's, I don't know the facts and I don't know the science behind it. And I don't know when, you know, the thing heartbeats, and I don't know any of that. I just know that there is a point where you kind of got to be like, it's a little too late for that. You know,
I do think that there is. I think there is.
No, well, yeah, but it's.
I hear what you're saying. No, I hear 100% what you're saying. I agree. I feel like there needs to be. I don't want to say a cutoff time, but for lack of a better term, a cutoff time.
Yeah, well, when this podcast gets a better budget, we're going to get somebody just to fucking Google search shit for us because I need some facts sometimes, man. I don't know these things offhand. Like, I don't know.
I would say we could look this stuff up beforehand, but I mean, it's hard because you just kind of start talking.
Right. And I try to make this forum as like open-minded as possible, where not everything is like, oh, I just went and studied the book on this and now I'm going to come talk about it. No, I wanted what your real life opinion is on it, you know?
Yeah.
But in general, there is a time and place where abortion is okay, and there's a time and place where abortion is not okay. That's where I really draw the line with it. You know, that in between the line, I don't know. I don't know. And I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I wish there was a black and white answer for it.
Yeah.
But really, it feels like that this situation is more of a gray area than anything else. But in general terms, people need to, you know, get off their fucking hands and stop, like, you know, not accepting the fact that there is a gray area with it. But there's also, you know, just morality to having pro-life and having pro-choice and get over yourself. You know, it's a little crazy sometimes with this whole situation.
Yeah, that's everything, though, essentially. You know, nowadays, at least, I feel like it's black or white.
Yeah.
It's hard to live in the gray area.
It is. And, you know, you get ridiculed so much about everything these days. It's like you can't have an opinion about nothing. You know, you can have an opinion, but it has to be the opinion of everybody on Facebook. It has to be the opinion of everybody on Twitter. It has to be the opinion of everybody anywhere. You know, it's like if you don't have I'm a more liberal than conservative person, but I can tell you now, it's mostly liberal people that do this. And it's sad because liberals are the ones who are supposed to be, you know, against censorship and let people do what they want and stuff like that. Right. And honestly, liberals have become, you could do what you want as long as you follow my narrative.
Yeah. As long as you agree.
Exactly.
But I think I agree. I feel like, especially with this election, though, you've seen the ugly of both sides now.
Yeah.
I feel that way, at least. I feel like I've seen a lot. But I've seen a lot of both sides. It's very all I'll say is it makes me just want to keep my mouth shut because I feel like I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. So I might as well just not say anything and not upset anybody because no matter what you say, you're going to upset somebody. And people these days are very vocal about it. And it's just not something that I feel like people should be vocal about on social media or whatnot. If you feel how you feel, that's wonderful. But I feel like to be nasty and aggressive on social media is not productive. Like, it's productive to have a conversation with people that you know and people that you care about. Or, like, that's what's productive, not...
I just like to piss people off on both sides. Because they both piss me off. And Marissa will tell you, I watch just as much CNN as I watch Fox News, and I think they're both complete bullshit. Bullshit. The whole thing is all bullshit. But I watch it anyway. Why? I don't know. I think I've been morphed into this whole news thing, and she hates it.
I hate it.
I put it on TV, and she's always like, oh my God, the fucking news is on. I'm going to go watch Unexpected and watch these fucking teens have babies. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that and TikTok. TikTok's been a nice escape.
Yeah, she is a
TikTok fun addict.
She is.
I love TikTok.
She does. She does. She has fallen into the trap. I am really not a crazy social media guy. So, like, you know, like we watch like The Social Dilemma and stuff like that. And I could tell you if you looked on my phone, other than me doing stuff for like the podcast recently and stuff like that, my social media on Facebook and stuff is very minimal.
Meme sharing.
That's yeah. But it. I usually what I do for my meme sharing is I'll just have a burst of it. Like, yeah. I'll just see like 20 memes back to back that I just find funny all within like a fucking, it feels like 2 minutes, but it's really like 20 minutes period. And I'll just post them all. And it's mostly about like the fucking Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys.
Yeah. No, I'm the opposite. I'm very into social media.
Oh, she's...
I'd be the first one to admit it. I'm not proud of it, but this is who I am, and this is where we are.
I am an addict to social media, I am proud.
I love TikTok. I don't post on TikTok, but I love TikTok. Instagram, Facebook. Facebook's it's a little too controversial for me.
Well, one of the things, and we get, you know, an opinion by you. We were talking on the podcast the other night, was this whole like virtual reality world that people, you know, can go into.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, the future, not even just for game consoles and stuff like that, is like people are so wrapped up in social media and stuff like that. You know, like now in the realm of what you like to do and watch TikTok and stuff, imagine if they had like a full endorsed world where you just like look around and there's all your fucking TikTokers and all your fucking, you know, YouTubers. And you could just watch them. You could talk to them in person.
That's too much.
You think that's too much?
I think that's too much. I mean, that aspect. Yeah. Like I don't, I feel like I'd get bored of it. Just like I eventually get bored of TikTok.
Yeah, but what is the difference of sitting on the bed for 2 hours straight
watching? Well, that's what I'm saying. I probably would do it for like 2 hours and then I'd get bored of it and take it off.
Oh, so it's still okay for the 2 hour period of just straight social media.
Yeah.
See, I mean,
not that it's okay, but I would do it, but like I would do it to a point.
Yeah.
Because that kind of stuff only goes so far. Like,
I got my own demons when it comes to it. I can get wrapped up in playing Call of Duty for hours upon time. And yeah, I do. And honestly, for the amount of time I play fucking Call of Duty and stuff, I suck at it still. I don't get it. I don't get how, I mean, I guess you have to play it like all day long. Like, I guess like that's how you get good at it. Or I'm just really trash and I'll never get good at it. But like I play this for hours upon hours upon hours. And I feel like I plateaued at my video game, you know. What is it called?
Getting old.
I'm getting old, maybe. But I was honestly never that great at Call of Duty or anything like that.
You're good at Mario Kart.
Yes, Mario Kart I'm good at. And that's something we're probably going to make a video. We're going to make a little series of me teaching Marissa how to play video games. Since I have all the old N64 games, pop them on the on the TV and watch her try to play Mario Kart, which I've never seen anybody in my life play Mario Kart and just not know how to drive on the road. I mean,
it's hard.
I've seen people bad at Mario Kart, but I've never seen somebody who could not even drive.
I have a hard time staying straight, which is
not even straight. Weird. You just have a hard time doing anything.
Yeah, I'm not good at it.
You make a turn and it's like you're in the grass, you're going backwards. I'm like, how is this?
Yeah.
It is the most simplest racing game of all time.
I used to play it back in the day on remember the Nintendo DS?
Yeah.
I played it on that and I was really good at it. I don't know. I have a hard time, I think, in general, with this is gonna sound insane for everybody that plays video games, with like the actual like PlayStation controller. Like, I find that the little wand is, like, it's too sensitive. so I just have a heart.
I'm just not even going to talk on that because it is this. Have you ever played it on N64?
No.
Okay.
So the only gaming consoles I've ever played games on are PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
End of list. And the Nintendo DS. That's all I and like
what
the Wii.
What was the third one?
The PS4.
No, yours. After the PS4.
Nintendo DS.
Oh, I thought there was one in between that.
I never played, like, I was never really big into video games. I'm a girl.
I love video games. I love them so much. They're just so fun. But I feel like it diminishes a part of me when I play too long, though. I do. Because, I mean, it's so, like, instantly gratifying when you're playing it. Everything's so cool.
Tires you out more than you think. Yeah, it does.
And then, like, when I'm done playing, I'm like, fuck, I just wasted, like, God knows how much time on this game. And now I just feel like shit.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then sometimes when I play a lot, like, even, like, while I'll be at work, I'll be like, oh, damn, I just want to go hop on the game right now. And then I think to myself, I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to hop on the game right now so that I can play for a few hours and then feel like shit. And then I have to do, it's like a fucking cycle. It's an addiction. It's an addiction sometimes. But not, like, a really severe one because I can go fucking months without even touching the
thing. Yeah, I feel like you do that. I feel like you go, like, a month without playing it, like hardly at all, and then you go like a month of playing it every day, and then you stop, and then it's which I mean.
And the psychology part about it is like, the more I don't play it, the more I don't even want to play it.
Yeah,
like it will be sitting there in front of me, and I'll just straight up like not even have the motivation to grab it off the whatever the console, like whatever. It's like I don't even want to grab it. You know, it's like, oh, maybe I want to play. No, I don't. Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close at all. But, yeah, it getting back to the point of it, it's just, you know, the way they're doing the world today with the whole social media and they're trying to get so much entanglement in, you know, now with, like, virtual reality. Even your dad played virtual reality for a little bit. I think he's done now. He retired.
I think that was like a phase.
It was just so funny watching her dad. And shout out to Mr. D. But just watching, he's smoking virtual cigars. Smoking virtual cigars, playing virtual poker. And he's getting annoyed because people are like not going when they're supposed to go. And he's like getting like arguments. He was like
talking shit to people.
Yeah, he's talking shit to people. Like, yeah. Like old Western. Like he's about to pull out his six shooter. Pop a motherfucker with his cigar in his mouth.
Yeah. It's cool. Virtual reality is cool, but I feel like it only goes so far.
It does.
It's not like a real reality. Like, it's not.
No. Well, T made a good point, and he was like, yeah, you can only go so far with it because, one, you're going to have to take it off to eat.
Yeah.
You can't eat virtual reality food.
Go to the bathroom. You need sleep.
Right. There's a lot of things. You know, but the scary part, another thing we're talking about, scary part is if they start making this into like a job where like you can go into this virtual reality world and you actually work doing something in
there.
I
would do it at this point.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
If it was like a legit thing, like if you were like in a VR world and like you actually got paid like real world money.
To say, okay, so like say you work at the virtual world Walmart.
And so I get paid like American dollar in my real bank account?
Yeah, they send you real money. And all you got to do is sell people whatever they come and buy. You're like the cashier at the virtual. No, I think that's fucking crazy.
Why? How is that?
Because the value of money, where is this money coming from? I guess it's coming from other people.
Well, yeah. If that was a legit thing, that would be crazy. Like, that's like a thing.
Imagine that shit.
But if, like, as a person who could potentially get a, you know, VR job, I might consider it. Why not? You wouldn't?
No. I wouldn't.
So if you could go into, like, virtual homes. And do virtual, okay, HVAC maintenances.
How would that even be possible?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Who's living?
That have their VR houses. They need their VR ACs tuned up.
I go there with my little.
Go there with your fake tool.
My virtual reality tools.
Seriously, you wouldn't do that? If you could sit on our couch and literally do what you're doing every day. You're doing the physical labor of it. No. You would prefer to go through the physical labor of it than sit on the couch. If you got paid the same amount of money?
No, I wouldn't do it.
Really?
No.
See, I would.
Because for one thing, my whole theory on it when we did that last podcast was it diminishes your life to the point where, A, you're very unhealthy. I mean, I'm not the healthiest. Yeah, okay. I'm not the healthiest person right now going. But I can only imagine my fat ass sitting there virtually fixing fucking air conditioning units in this virtual Disney World or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, but think about somebody like me. I already sit all day. I already have a desk job.
So now you're going to be – so yeah, she works in insurance or she does stuff for medical insurance. So imagine now you go to the virtual doctor and you got to do a virtual medical whatever. It's like, when does it stop?
No, it's a very weird thing, but I feel like, well, think about it like this. Now, here's an interesting point. Unemployment. People that cannot find jobs. People that don't have the capabilities of getting to jobs because they don't have vehicles. People that don't have the money to pay for buses, whatnot. You know, I could go on. These people can now buy a VR thing. If this were a reality, buy a VR thing, which will probably cost them some money, right? But they get a job that requires them nothing but to sit or stand with these controllers in their hands, and then they get paid real money doing it.
I just think it's bullshit.
Come on.
No, because you know what it is? This is going to turn into more than what you think it is. You're thinking of it as like this golden, like, oh my God, this is great.
No, I don't think it's great. No. I think it's a little weird, but I do think that it could solve some problems. I'm going to run for president and that's going to be my platform.
Oh my God. We're at that point. We're either breaking up or getting a divorce because let me tell you something. The people who are going to fund this and the people who are going to run this are going to be people who want to do exactly that. Yeah. Yes, of course they're going to want the unemployed people to do the virtual reality work and basically have no life and you know what they're going to do with their life. They're going to be living in this virtual reality. They're going to die lonely. Like, what the fuck? You can't even have an animal if you're doing this. Like, you're going to be like, what?
Yeah, you can. It would be like a job.
Yeah, we could have a virtual puppy.
No, I'm saying if this were a thing where you work in the virtual reality world.
Oh, 8 hours?
Yeah, then you would take off your head thing, whatever. Take off your, whatever they're called, and go on with your life. I'm saying it from a standpoint of, like, if they could create jobs in a VR world that could actually benefit people in reality, I think that would be cool. From that standpoint. Not saying, like, you should have, like, a virtual husband and, like, virtual children. Like, that's too far. But, like, just for job purposes or for employment purposes, I think that it could be useful.
Yeah, but how many people are going to turn that into wanting to be there all the time? If you look at the intro and what Buddha said in there, he was like, why wouldn't I just want to go home and, you know, everyday bullshit, whatever, and then you go home and you are in this virtual reality world. Why wouldn't you want to be there? That's a scary thought. Why wouldn't you want to be there?
Because it's not the same.
It's not the same.
You're always going to be lacking things. Like, you could have online friends. That's essentially what they're going to be. But, like, you're not going to have, like, I don't know, like, real relationships. Like, you're not going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, you come home from work, give me a hug and a kiss. You can't do that. Like, you could virtually do that with somebody. But, like, you can't actually, you know what I mean? Like, these are things, like, human beings crave. Like,
but this is
love, affection, like.
But this is what I'm telling you. This is what is going to happen.
Natural selection, then.
Natural selection.
Listen, survival of the fittest. I don't know. I'm serious. That's kind of how I feel. Like, if that's what people want, whatever, fine. So they're not going to procreate.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be a lot of people.
I don't know. I think more people agree with kind of what we're saying.
I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be – I think I might be exaggerating. I don't think it's going to be that many people. But I just feel like there's going to be enough people.
Yeah.
And you know what the fucked up thing about it is, it's going to be those people you really don't give a fuck about anyway.
Natural selection.
Right. You're not going to give a fuck about these people because you're probably A, never going to meet these people. B, you're never going to care for these people.
Yeah.
They're just going to become the fucking sloth people of the fucking earth.
You're not going to, like, if that's truly what it's going to be, and people get so engrossed in these virtual realities, then we won't know what we're missing, essentially.
And I say fuck them. You know, I changed my whole opinion on this. Fuck those people. You want to go fucking kill your, see, 25 and older. You want to go kill yourself? No, don't. I'm not trying to say that. See, this is the shit that's going to get me fucking banned.
Yeah.
But I'm just joking, guys. I don't really feel that way. I just think that, you know, let people do what they want. You know, I'm a big believer in that. That's my biggest thing. Do what you want to do. Be who you want to be as long as you're over 25 years old. That's really how I feel about it.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you were saying before about guidance, because truthfully, this is all going to start at the root, which is how you raise your child. If you raise your child to think that it's okay to be on their iPad or their phone or whatever 24 hours a day, then I feel like those are the people that are going to be more prone to do or to get, like, totally sucked into the virtual reality world. Whereas if you have a parent, or I'm sorry, you have a child that you allow to be on an iPad, if at all, but, like, for a limited amount of time, right? Like, let them know, like, yeah, you can play on this for an hour, but you need to, you know, go outside, breathe fresh air, whatever. You know what I mean? Ride your bike.
So how old?
Play hopscotch. Like,
how old do you think it is for a kid to have a smartphone?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know, because I do feel, okay, a cell phone or an iPad?
Like a smartphone.
Like a phone, like an iPhone?
Yeah.
I would want them to have a phone of some kind when they're like 13, 14.
No, I would want them to have a phone before that, but not.
Do they make regular cell phones?
Yeah, my grandfather has a flip phone. I would give them a flip.
A smartphone? I don't know. I want to say, like,
I don't. I want to limit. I want to limit them.
14?
The thing is, I don't want to limit them, but I don't want to be to the point where they're unknowledgeable, then they're just exposed to it.
I don't know. I feel like it's again, like we were saying before, this is another thing.
13, 14.
Yeah, but it's another thing that our generation now as parents are going to have to figure out, because when we were growing up, they didn't cell phones weren't even a thing when I was a kid. You know what I mean?
No,
now,
me too.
You know, now it's like everybody's got iPhones. Like, you literally have whole 10 years computers.
Old. 10-year-olds with fucking iPhones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't, that's, I feel too young. But I do think that, like, as far as technology goes, I feel like there are certain things, but like, again, parental control type things, like apps and whatnot that like help kids like learn better and like stuff like that. Like I've seen a lot of stuff on TikTok, but like it could be very like useful. Like there's certain things that can actually be useful for kids. Like I'm not saying like on TikTok, but like there's different programs and whatnot that like I feel like if maybe we had an iPad, you know, let the kid play around for a little bit on your
this is the designated same,
games.
This is the same app that makes 14-year-olds dancing in their living room popular by fucking creepy pedos on fucking TikTok. But yet they have the right programming to show the children.
They show, there's different people on TikTok that have kids and stuff that show like the different apps that their kids use that helps them like learn their ABCs and like stuff like that. It's not on TikTok itself. They just showcase it on TikTok. Like they tell, like show everybody.
Well, how about that? What I did see was on TV. They have that commercial for that debit card. Have you seen the debit card, the green one? I think it's called the green card. And it's like
you put like X amount of dollars.
You put money on it, and you know what the kid buys all the time, and you monitor it. See, I would do something like that. Like I like that idea. I think that's a great idea. I think give the kid the option to have their own money. You know, they're going to earn that shit, but they're going to have their own money and they're going to be able to explore, you know, whatever. And I get to see from the background.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about guidance and I don't want to say control, but I feel like with children, there has to be some parental control.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. We made it almost an hour.
It's been a lovely hour.
I know. She so did not want to do this with me today.
That's not true. That's not true. I said probably, and then I did it.
She did, because I had everything set up. I had her microphone ready. And honestly, this podcast was supposed to be mostly about Munchies by Marissa, and it turned into a whole nother fucking dilemma. Just
a
like
whole
the
tangent.
Just like the first podcast was supposed to be about the fight, and it turned into a whole nother tangent too. So
I feel like that's kind of what podcasts are, though. It's like free talking, free thinking.
So, yep, so I'll wrap it up this way. Everybody go to Instagram and look up Munchies by Marissa.
It's Munchies _ by _ Marissa.
There you go. You know, I think
there might be a one more underscore at the end. Hold on.
All right, we got to make sure. We got to make sure we get this right. Yeah, it's
Munchies _ by _ Marissa _.
There we go. Very good. So it was great talking to everybody. Another podcast should be coming soon to a theater near you. And I hope you have a beautiful day.